Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about ex-spouses remarrying each other? Yeah, you heard me right. First they divorce each other and go through all of that, and then they turn around and remarry each other. I only know of one person who's done that. Quite an interesting story. Now, would you like to learn more about what the chances are for success the second time around? After you've had one divorce and you decide to get brave and get married again. Have you ever wanted to know about the stigma attached to people who have been married more than once? Can you imagine the lengths people go to hide the fact that they've been married several times? Do you know what it takes to be successful at marriage? Have you ever heard about a book called The Ring Exchange? Or have you ever heard about a book called Successful Second Marriages? Now, would you like to meet two people who have some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful at love and marriage? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest and also to her guest. They both are success coaches extraordinaire. They will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk4Media and syndicated at iHeartRadio and Blog Talk Radio. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. I'm pleased to welcome back for the third time around on our show. She's the author of Ring Exchange, Adventurers of a Multiple Marrier, which is a book about her own journey and the missteps she made that led to four marriages and four divorces before her 50th birthday. She did the hard work of self-discovery and reflection about her past choices that eventually led her to some important realizations about her relationships and marriage patterns. From there, she learned how to break those destructive patterns by taking control of her life and finding out who she really is. She is also a newlywed in that she recently got married again after a 13-year marital hiatus. It'll be so interesting to hear about getting remarried again after 13 years. We also have, I'm pleased to welcome to the show today, Pamela Evans. And we're also pleased to welcome back to the show again, Pat Bubash, the author of Successful Second Marriages. Hello, Pam, and hello, Pat. How are you gals doing today?
That's great.
Okay. It's always fun to have you both on the show. You both have such good energy, synergy together. Now let's talk about this thought about ex-spouses remarrying one another. Is that crazy or what? How often does that ever happen, Pam?
Well, it happened twice in my family. My paternal grandparents were married at a very young age during the Great Depression, and 7 years later, they got divorced. 7 years after that, they got remarried because my father and my uncle talked them into it, and they stayed married until they died. And then I have another relative who got divorced after their second child, and within 2 years, that couple was remarried again. They had a third child, and within a matter of 5 or 6 years, they were divorced again permanently. So I have experienced it up close and personal.
Wow. How about you, Pat? What do you have to say about ex-spouses remarrying one another?
Well, it's an interesting situation. I'll just say I do know two couples personally who did do that, and I'm going to tell you their stories. But first, I want to make the comment. I think it's probably less than more because so many divorces end on such negative feelings about each other. You know. That, you know, there's no way they would even, you know, perish the sod.
Yeah.
But these two couples I know, interestingly, well, the one couple had married twice. They had married and divorced and then married again and came back together again, and they decided that third time, just forget going through the legal part of it. And they lived together till... You know, both he died and she died several years later, but mm-hmm. they were well into their 80s, you know, when they both, after they had married and then mm-hmm. Passed. The other couple is they graduated college, married, and lived together as a married couple for about 6 years. And then, you know, just things weren't going well, and they divorced. And then about a year or two later, they started dating, and mm-hmm. she became pregnant.
Oh,
they married. Yeah, you think at 18, but, you know, when you're late 20s or 30s, you'd think you had a little more understanding of that. But they married, had another child, and lived together for 23 years as a second marriage. And then they have been divorced now for about 5 years, and that they will never be together again.
So it kind of seems like if they remarry, it kind of works for a while, but then mm-hmm. except for Pam, for your grandparents, they stayed together for a long, long time. But it seems like it works for a while, and then everything just goes to hell in a handbasket, just the way it did before. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I believe you can be reunited and it can work, but you've got to be willing to face the relationship challenges head on, and I think you've got to accept accountability for what you contributed to those issues and mm-hmm. be committed to changing yourself and committed to loving and respecting the other partner. And I do believe if you get help, if you get some counseling and coaching along the way, and you focus on making this second marriage right, you can do it for the long haul. My grandparents did it mm-hmm. without all of those tips and tools. I can say I do remember some arguments, but I don't think they ever loved anyone else truly. And mm-hmm. they wanted to be together for the sake of family, I believe. And they were fantastic mm-hmm. grandparents.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think a lot of people do a lot of things for the sake of family, and especially from our generation, I mean, divorce was unheard of, and it was quite a stigma. Now, Pam, even in this day and age, talk about the stigma to a person who's been married more than a couple of times.
Well, unfortunately, in this day and age, track records are there in everything, and they do count. Just look at your professional life. If you have a resume and you're applying for a job, an employer looks down that resume and they see that you've jumped from job to job fairly quickly, they may pass you by. Now, if you get that interview, you'll get a chance to give some solid explanations as to why you moved quickly, and they may be very reasonable. But you might not get that chance. And it's the same with multiple marriers. Often they get passed by because of their track record, and it does come up from time to time.
What are your thoughts about that, Pat? Do you agree?
I do. I think society's let up a little bit on that because there seems to be so many second marriages anymore. But two really isn't. A big number, because I find there are so many people that, you know, are married for the second time. And you know, I've heard the term in the last year, starter marriage. And so, I think that's, you know, it's kind of clever, you know, for, you know, rather than saying failed, you know, it's a starter, you know, that sounds a whole lot like entry-level work, you know. So I think that there is, you know, not the stigma on that now as it was when I divorced the first time, you know, 30-some years ago, and I was the only divorcee on our street, you know.
Right.
But there is a stigma in terms of people view you as maybe you have commitment issues, maybe you don't know how to, you know, be true to a marriage, maybe you don't know how to make good decisions. And I agree with Pam. You know, you look at a resume, and if people have, you know, made different jobs in a certain amount of time, it's like, do they just have commitment problems? They don't know how to stick with something. And I will tell you on a personal note, I was really embarrassed the second time that I was divorced. I did not want people to know. Most people did not know. And when my book was published, I gave a copy to each one of my daughters. Uh-huh. And well, they did know, you know. But my son-in-law had illustrated the cover, and I really wanted him to have, you know, a personalized copy. My grandsons were about 13 or 14. And they saw that, and they started reading it, and they came to my daughter, and they said, we did not know, Mama, I had been married before. And they were really upset about this. You know, I mean, they really, really were.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I do think that it's perceived in different ways by people, unless you're Elizabeth Taylor and, you know, in Time and Spy.
You know, Pam, I want to talk a little bit. In your book, you mentioned that there was someone who had been, the world's record is 27 marriages. Now, who is that person?
I don't know her name. It is a she. But I do know of someone a few places removed from me. It's actually a friend of mine. His uncle is alive and married in another state for the 13th time. And I was dying to interview this gentleman. I was going to get on a plane and fly and go see him. And my friends checked it out. He checked with his uncle, and the uncle said no, because I don't want my 13th wife to know I remarried my 11th. Now, that's a story in and of itself. You know,
I love that.
I look at it this way. In my case, four husbands had the pleasure of my company for a few years.
There
so good for me.
Yes.
And now I'm just repurposing myself.
I
love it.
Well,
repurposing.
You know,
that's beautiful.
I'm going to reposition myself, and we're going to have a commercial. And when we're going to come back, we're going to ask Pam about the lengths that people go to hide the number of times they've been married from their friends, neighbors, and coworkers. We'll be right back with Pam Evans and Pat Bubash.
Pam Evans has been married and divorced four times and lived to tell the tale with honesty, humor, and a heartfelt message. Check out Pam's first book, Ring Exchange, Adventures of a Multiple Marrier, where she shares her hard-won lessons about behavior, emotions, relationships, and her marriage partner choices. Learn more about Pam's road less traveled and how she anticipates every day with joy and a sense of gratitude. Visit Pam's website at www.ring-exchange.com. Her book is available on Amazon.com, too. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
Welcome back, and Pam Evans is with us today, and Pat Bubash. I also wanted to share with all of you that Dale Bruner from the Feel Good World movement will be back on the show in March, and he'll be discussing with us the challenges that come with raising disabled children. Now, Pam, what lengths do people go to hide the number of times they've been married from their friends, their neighbors, and especially their coworkers? Because this isn't something I think I'd want to share at work.
No, it's. I have to agree with Pat. The embarrassment has just been huge for me in the past, and it still plagues me to this day. And now that I'm married for the fifth time, my track record looks even worse. I have actually tried to keep my book project separate from my high-tech profession, honestly. I know the subject would be intriguing to my bosses and coworkers, and it would cause a lot of gossip, but it would also affect my credibility in the high-tech profession. So only a few people really know. I keep it separate. I have even left out one of my marriages in the past because my first husband got remarried in the Catholic Church, and he sent me annulment papers even though I was Protestant. So since I just decided for a while I would leave that marriage out. As they started to add up, you know, when it got to the third one, I thought, well, I could leave the first one out. No one would know. And that was when I was Pamela Anderson. There's already another Pamela Anderson in Hollywood. So, you know,
As there is a January Jones. So, I mean, the two of us could go to Hollywood and just take them out in one
visit.
We could
take them by storm. But I do have a really good response that I've used in the past. When people say, Pam, how many times have you been married? I say more than once and less than five. And then they can just
I love it.
But now that I'm on the fifth marriage, I'm going to have to say more than once and less than like 10. You know, I don't know.
That'll really get their attention. You know, now, Pat, you mentioned earlier about your grandsons finding out you had been married before. Now, obviously, I think the best policy is honesty. Don't you think you should have told them maybe before the book came out?
You know what? No. Well, I guess if I had never really planned on writing a book. I guess at one point when I felt, you know, they were a little older and maybe could understand that people's relationships, you know, they determine those themselves, and it's their stuff. You know, they can have an opinion about it, but it's me that lived through it. And it has nothing to do with my love for them or how I am as their grandmother. But, you know, Pam, I have to, your comment about, you know, your credibility in the, you know, corporate world. Well, think about being, you know, multiple marriages and being a counselor. You know,
you know, it's like, irony there.
Now, what is wrong? You know, it's the cobbler's with his kids going barefoot. You know, this woman can't get it together. But you know the way I feel about that. Now, I tell everybody, third time was charm. You know, which it seems to be, at least by all appearances. But I think when I was younger, and especially that second time, it was one of the most emotionally disturbing things. I felt like a real fool. I felt like, you know, my credibility was just, you know, nada. And as maybe that is the beauty of aging. I'm looking for something that is the beauty of aging, you know.
Okay. You don't care anymore.
You know, that's part of it, you know, because it is your experience. It is the challenge that you went through. It's what your growth was. And, you know, people need that, or should, or whatever, see you for how you are with them. You know, my relationships with the two people I divorced has no impact on the relationship I have with my friends or my other family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, so there, we're talking about the difference between failed relationships and marriages. What are your thoughts, Pam, about that?
Well, I always ask myself the question, what's the difference in 20 failed relationships and 5 failed marriages?
Yeah.
If you don't learn the lessons, there isn't much difference. But in U.S. society today, for moral and religious reasons, there is a difference. And when you have that legal piece of paper, there is a difference. So it's something that people have to accept. When you go into a marriage, there is a different level of a commitment, and you need to be willing to work at it. Again, if there is, you know, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, physical abuse, you know, those are sort of beyond. But when it comes to the everyday issues and things that cause marriages to have some volatility, you need to have your head in the game and work through it.
Absolutely. That is so true and such great advice. Pat, let's talk about children. We already talked about your grandchildren, but let's talk about children who have parents who are multiple marriers. Do they suffer the side effects of this stigma? And how do you deal with children when you're getting married for the second, third, fourth, or fifth time?
I do think children suffer from, well, it's the comments from other people. You know, it's the view from outside of your own circle and, you know, what people say, because children are very, you know, their peers and their classmates and all of that are the most important thing to them when, you know, when before college, you know, college is, they usually take off on their own. And it was interesting. I had been divorced almost a year when somebody made the comment to me, oh, you're divorced? My daughters did not talk about it. They were in elementary school at that time.
Yeah.
They didn't tell anybody.
Right.
So they didn't want to be different from their friends.
Right.
You know, they had two parents in the home. And
yeah.
But I think as they got older and were having their own experiences. And then, you know, divorce became a little more prevalent then, and they had friends whose parents were, you know, getting divorced. And so they weren't so much out of the circle of that. But I do believe children have that problem at times. And the parent, it's up to the parent to, you know, let them know, I love you, you know, and how I feel towards you is what's important. Learn from, you know, what I know now about marriage. And two of my daughters have really taken that to heart. One did have a divorce very young, but the other two have married, you know, when they were older. They married into very conservative families that had never experienced divorce. So that was kind of an issue, since there was some judgment issues from their in-law families. But you know what? Things happen, and those families have now experienced divorce. So, you know, it kind of makes me look a little less, you know, incredible. You know, you almost hate to say you hope things like that happen, but sometimes people have to be less judgmental. And they, exactly. And going through it's the only way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't understand until you or one of your children go through a divorce how difficult it is. And I mean, it's something that is so personal and so difficult. Pam, I know you do not have children, but do you have any thoughts you could share on children who go through this process with their parents?
Mm-hmm. One of my best girlfriends told me she came to one of my talks, not just to support me, but because her mother had been married 5 times and was now deceased. And she said, Pam, I had to live with the embarrassment of explaining it to boyfriends and friends in school. And she said, we moved so many times. And, you know, there were all these ex-family members I had to deal with. How do we do Christmases and Easter and everything? It was strange, you know. And so I never had really thought about that angle to it because I don't have children. But children do suffer the embarrassment, and the change that they have to go to is, through is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and interesting that you mentioned holidays. That is always sticky in any divorce.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know, that's a, we could do a whole show on that. We're going to take
dynamics.
We could do, a lot on that one. All right, we're going to take a break and hear from my sponsor and a little bit about your host today.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Welcome back with January Jones, and I want to invite all of you to go to www.januaryjones.com. Sign up with your name and email, and you can download 2 free chapters from my book, Priceless Personalities. And speaking of priceless personalities, we have wonderful Pamela Evans and Pat Bubush with us today. Pam, could you share your website information and tell everyone how they can get your book?
Sure. My website is www.ring-exchange.com, and you can find my book there and also on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. And Pat Bubush, how can people find your book?
www.successfulsecondmarriages.com on my website and on Amazon.com.
Wonderful.
And it is on ebook. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Pamela, is your book on ebooks?
It sure is.
Okay. Well, that's the only way to go these days, isn't it? Now, Pam, I read in chapter 10 about your second wedding. You know, it was really, really funny, but it was so sad. Your father-in-law gave you a heads up about what you were getting into and what was going through your mind, and share with us how that wedding played out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had jumped out of my first marriage at the age of 25 and got married just a few months after the divorce came through. So my second husband and I-to-be, he was a law student. We had dated about a year, and it was going to be his first marriage and my second. And although I thought I came from an upper-class family, it was upper poor compared to his. So they planned the entire wedding. It took place at his prep school. And, you know, for the year of our courtship, there were some ups and downs. He was an only child and a bit self-absorbed. And I remember I was walking up the path to this beautiful prep school chapel on a warm summer day, all dressed in white, ready to go. And my father-in-law-to-be was walking with me, and he just pulled me aside, and he said, "Listen, I just want to tell you this. We love our son very much. He's a wonderful boy. He's the only one we have, but he's very difficult, you know, and do you know what you're doing?" Well, I was just a few steps away from the chapel there. There was no turning around and running back to the parking lot.
Yeah.
So okay. I said, "Oh no, I love your son. He's terrific. We're going to have a wonderful life together." And I just brushed it off. But that was a red flag. If you get your father-in-law, not your father, but your father-in-law giving you a red flag, you better pay attention to it.
That is fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic story and really, really great advice. Actually, I think when anyone comes up to you who isn't a mother, father, or father-in-law, mother-in-law, and tells you, you better stop and think twice, that's a pretty big red flag. Don't you agree, Pat?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But, you know, the problem is it's too late. By the time you get to, you know, like Pam said, you know, there you are, right there, you know. Now, I do have an author friend who she did listen to her gut instinct, and it was 4 months before the big event, and she wrote a book about this, how not to marry the wrong man, you know. So, some people listen, you know, but I share that ignoring of the red flags right along with Pam, because I did the same thing.
Share with us your second thoughts on your wedding days.
My red flag? Okay. Well, I had been 6 years or so since my divorce. So, I felt like I had a pretty good handle on what I really wanted. And this person was also an educator, and we were in the same district. And our friends were just ecstatic. They called us the Brady Bunch. You know, we were just, you know, they thought we were the next TV show, you know. So we made these plans. You know, we didn't rush into this. I mean, we really didn't. And we dated for a year, a little over a year maybe. And when the day came, it was only family and friends, about 50 people. Okay. Now, this right here should have been his red flag. It was in my house.
Okay.
That should have been his red flag.
Red flag.
Yeah. My house. So,
and your name was on the deed.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, of course, in hindsight, that was probably the wisest thing I did.
Yeah.
So, as we're gathered there, you know, and everybody's around us, and the minister is there, I had this horrible gut feeling, and this voice in my head said, "Don't do this."
Oh wow!
I swear that is exactly. I remember it just as vividly today as I did then. Of course, I didn't listen, but I should have, you know. But then again, I wouldn't be where I am today if I had.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Who do you think that voice was coming from?
I think that voice was coming from my common sense, you know, insightful part of me saying,
so,
you know.
Yeah, so it wasn't anyone from spiritual or someone from the other side coming through. So I mean, I'm doing a lot of shows on the white light and paranormal, so I wanted to make sure who that, it's just common sense. Yeah, sometimes when you're standing there, wow. Pam, aside from your very disastrous second marriage, did you enter other marriages feeling like, Pat, that you were on shaky ground, or maybe this was not a great idea?
Actually, two of the four I did. I had some doubts because there was a little bit of volatility, but I thought, you know, if I keep my head low, I must have caused this argument. You know, we have good times most of the time. Uh-huh. That's just sort of the way it is. And again, those are warning signs that you really need to pay attention to. It's funny, before my father passed away, he gave me the title Runaway Bride, not because I did it before the altar, but I always did it after I went through all that mess.
Sounds like he was hoping you would do it before.
Yeah, he used to say, with four daughters and a son, with the four daughters, I pay for first marriages and first divorces. After that, you're on your own.
I like
and
that.
And he came through on the first one. He did pay for the first divorce. And the first wedding, but after that, he didn't want to pay for any more weddings.
Well, I mean, who can blame him? My God.
I know. I would have bankrupted him for sure.
Your sisters would have been mad because you were taking their wedding money, you know?
Yeah. You obviously, you were always his favorite, so we can see why that happened. Now, with multiple marriers, is this, Pat, very common, where people get up there and think, oh, my God, what am I doing? Am I insane? Why am I up here?
Well, you know, I'm not sure, because the people I talk to, you know, I'm going to refer to my book because that's the, you know, largest group at one time that I've talked to that married the second time. And I think, honestly, that most people think positive about this. I think they feel like, you know, now they've got it right. I'm older. I've had this experience. And I don't think most people have the red flags like Pam and I express. I honestly don't. I think they are so delighted to have found someone again.
Yeah.
That they go into it really very positively.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the bottom line is everyone wants to be happy, and
that's right.
And they don't want to admit their past mistakes or embarrassments, and it's part of the process of going forward. It's such a tough thing to deal with, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. But I love Pam's insight on her marriages, in that she, I really do, because you know what? You could look at this, if you wanted to, as negative. But she looks at it positive. And when I read this about her saying that each one of these persons introduced her to, you know, one was the music, one was it, and I thought, you know, that is the best way to look at this.
Oh,
it really is.
That's so, such a fantastic insight for you to share, because everything you go through, every door that opens and closes leads you to the next level. We're going to take a break and hear about from my sponsor. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the good news. Pam has taken her fifth. We'll be right back.
Nicholas Hazel is a senior member of the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor and author of Laughter, the Drug of Choice. Scientific research is discovering that our bodies only hurt when we don't laugh. For anyone interested in a laugh-out-loud collection of medical terms and poetical music, often at the expense of health professionals' love and life, Laughter, the Drug of Choice is just what the doctor ordered. What is AATH?
The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with January Jones. I want to share with everyone that Nick Hazel and I both will be at the AATH convention at the Red Skelton Museum in Vincennes, Indiana, April 3rd through 6th. And we look forward to having all of you join us. It'll be an amazing experience. I'm back with Pamela Evans and Pat Bubush, and we've been talking about their fantastic books, Ring Exchange and Successful Second Marriages. Now, Pam, do people decide to give up on marriage, or do they hope to keep it alive, still looking for the right partner?
Well, there are three types of multiple marriers I've encountered. There's the type of person who says, I'm finished. I will never get married again. I probably won't even date again. I'm done. Then you have the person who says, you know what? I'm on my way to the next partner. One of the multiple marriers I studied is in his 70s and has now found a mail order bride. So he's not stopping. She's like 40 years younger or something. And then there are people like myself. I really didn't need to get married this time. Lord knows I had plenty of marriages racked up there. Yeah. But I was open to it. I say never. You don't know what possibilities are out there, what new life experiences and new people who will come into your life. So I was open to it, but I really had to step back and take a look at myself, do some reflection, do some inner work, practice some lessons in a relationship that I was in for almost nine years before I got married again.
Okay. That's quite, thank you for sharing that. It's very exciting to know that you have finally found the right person. I'm sure your family feels the same way.
I didn't ask them to buy a wedding gift this time. Everything's cool there.
So let me get it this way. You didn't register.
I didn't register. I don't need my name anywhere else. I don't have to put it.
Okay. Pat, you've been married to your third husband for a long, long time. And I've been married, quite frankly, to my second husband for 43 years. So what's the best advice you have to people listening out there about finding the right partner, especially if you've had some bad luck in the past?
I think Pam hit on it, and maybe I did as well. We have to know ourselves before we start trying to have a relationship. And I noted that, you know, when I talk to people writing this book, you know, what are you going to do this time to, you know, ensure success or at least make every effort towards success in the marriage. And practically every one of them said that they got to know themselves better. They did some counseling. They did some introspection. They took some time out. And I think it's also important that you there, January?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, I heard a beep, and I thought maybe I wanted to double check. You're just being a very good listener, that's all.
That's my job.
Very good listener. I thought, oh, wow. She's really into this. I think also it's a matter of what you want in a person and where you're looking for them. You know, some people keep looking in the wrong places for a partner, and then they keep coming up with the wrong person. You know, if you're an outdoor person, you need to find somebody that enjoys it too. Join the Sierra Club, you know, get out there in a hiking trails group or something. And if you're a pet lover, you know, go to the pet stores or somebody. You know, somebody told me one time the best place to find men was the yacht club, you know. So,
well, you know, the other place is golf courses. Especially,
oh, I bet.
Yeah, you know, especially if you can hit a golf ball. You have a great partner out there with men.
Yeah. Or even if you can't, and then, you know, you find someone that likes to be a caretaker and, you know, help you, that, you know, that works that way, too.
I can drive a golf cart.
Yeah,
there you go.
It could be the beverage cart or the golf cart. Now, Pam, you've just taken the fifth. Do you feel confident this time that this marriage will work? And how is this relationship different from the others that you've had in the past that led to marriage and didn't work out? Could you share that with us?
Sure. Well, this relationship started as a friendship, an intellectual, emotional, and it was just great. And it was actually my partner, who's now my husband, who coached me and encouraged me to write this book. And he didn't know about all of the marriages at that time. He actually found out about the fourth one when he was proofreading the book. Talk about honesty. No, we've been very open and honest about everything, but it just, I left the annulled one out. And so I finally had to come clean.
It really doesn't count.
Yeah. No. It was one of those, didn't we talk about this at some point in time? He just laughed. But at any rate, we have practiced the lessons, both of us. He's only been married once before, and he was the one who really wanted to get married even more than I did. And we thought, as we're going into our golden years now and we're putting our homes together and our life together, that it will just feel better if we go forward as a married couple. And it does. It feels really great. Not that different, but it feels a little bit extra special.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Now, does this mean there's a new book coming out?
Well, I may have to have Pat help me write this one. I'm not sure I have enough content. But I definitely have a chapter on or two on why I took the fifth. Because so many people would say, you know, why would you do it again? You are a reformed multiple marrier. You say you've learned those lessons. You say you don't need to be married. Why would you do this again at age 60? Please. There are some practical reasons, romantic ones as well. So maybe I'll get going on a chapter or two, and maybe Pat can give me some help there.
Well,
I'd love to.
Yeah, I agree, and I would like to contribute to it too, because I definitely think you need another addendum to this book.
Yeah.
And it's such a wonderful, joyous story to share, and I'm so happy for you, as I know Pat is too. Thank you both of you, and I know all three of us are planning a wonderful reunion at some time.
We are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I will share that with any of my listeners who would like to join us.
Girls night out.
Right. The topics would just be very colorful and, you know, go on endlessly.
Yeah, we could put our reunion on YouTube and we'd be a big hit. Well, maybe.
Sure. Wouldn't we, though?
Thank you to my wonderful guests, Pamela Evans and Pat Bubash. We hope you've enjoyed our fantastic show today. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Pam and Pat. They will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, remember my mantra. If you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then share our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guests today, Pamela Evans and Pat Boubash. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.